Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our Old Testament reading to chapter 10 of the book of Ezra, the final chapter of that great book. Ezra, chapter 10, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month, and all the people that sat in the street of the house of God trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without, neither is this a work of 1 day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let now our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times, and with the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. Only Jonathan, the son of Asahel, and Jahaziah, the son of Tikva, were employed about this matter, and Meshullam and Shabbatai, the Levite, helped them. And the children of the captivity did so. And Ezra the priest, with certain chief of the fathers, after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names, were separated, and sat down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the 1st month. And among the sons of the priests that were there found that had taken strange wives, namely the sons of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, Maaseiah and Eleazar and Jarib and Gedaliah. And they gave their hands that they would put away their wives, being guilty. They offered a ram of the flock for their trespass. And of the sons of Immer, Hanani and Zebediah. And of the sons of Harim, Maaseiah and Elijah and Shemaiah and Jehiel and Uzziah. And of the sons of Pashur, Elioenai, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Nathanael, Jozabad, and Elasa. Also of the Levites, Jozabad and Shimei and Keliah, the same as Kelita, Pethahiah, Judah, and Eleazar. Of the singers also, Eliashib, and of the porters, Shalum, and Telem, and Uri. Moreover, of Israel, of the sons of Parosh, Ramiah, and Jeziah, and Malchiah, and Miamin, and Eleazar, and Malchijah, and Benaiah. And of the sons of Elam, Mataniah, Zechariah, and Jehiel, and Abdi, and Jeremoth, and Eliah. And of the sons of Zatu, Elioenai, Eliashib, Mataniah, and Jeremoth, and Zabad, and Azizah. Of the sons also of Bebai, Jehohanan, Hananiah, Zabai, and Athlai. And of the sons of Bani, Meshulam, Maluk, and Adiah, Jashub, and Sheal, and Ramoth. And of the sons of Pahath Moab, Adna, and Kelal, and Benaiah, Maaseiah, Mataniah, Bezalel, and Binui, and Manasseh. And of the sons of Harim, Eleazar, Ishijah, Malchiah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Maluk, and Shemariah. Of the sons of Hashum, Matani, Matatha, Zabad, Eliphelet, Jeremiah, Maaseiah, and Shimei. Of the sons of Bani, Maadai, Amram, and Uyel, Benaiah, Bediah, Keluch, Vaniah, Meremoth, Eliashib, Mataniah, Matani, and Jaasau, and Bani, and Binui, Shimei, and Shelemiah, and Nathan, and Adiah, Machnadabai, Shashai, Sharai, Azareel, Shelemiah, Shemariah, Shalum, Amariah, and Joseph. Of the sons of Nebo, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Zabad, Zebina, Jadau, and Joel, and Benaiah. All these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we see the resolve of the people now that they have come under the apparent guilt that was wrought in them by the Lord because of Ezra's actions in the last chapter. We remember Ezra's prayer. We remember Ezra's plucking out his beard and his hair. We remember him tearing his clothes. We remember the great grief that he showed. And this had a profound effect upon the people. They recognized the depth of their sin. This passage is very closely related to what we've just read in 2 Corinthians 6, in that there is a separation required. There is a separation required because they have become tolerant and what some might call broad-minded. Of course, one of my mentors once told me, you don't want to be too broad-minded. You don't want to open your mind too far. You're never sure of what's going to fall in there. You want to keep that, you don't want a funnel for your mind. You want something that you can control. You want a gate on that thing, right? So this is what's happening here. They'd become broad-minded. They'd married strange wives. They had children with them. And as we said last week, this is not particularly a ethnic thing. This is a religious thing. They have tainted themselves in the practice of their religion. Now notice some of the elders come to Ezra and they encourage him to take up this matter. Notice the depth of their conviction. May I say that this doesn't often happen. We don't have people coming to the session and saying, "Would you guys please discipline me?" But this is what they're doing here. They are taken with their guilt, beloved. They are taken with their folly and sin. And so they require then something be set up for them so that they might be prescribed works meet for repentance, that they might know how to repent of this great sin and entreat the favor of God rather than his displeasure. Nehemiah will do the same thing, won't he? Long about chapter 13 with regard to Sabbath keeping. This is seventh commandment stuff, right? And second commandment stuff, right? But with regard to fourth commandment, Nehemiah is going to do the same thing later in the book that we're about to enter into next hour. These are things that require separation. And note, sometimes separation from beloved relationships. These men had married these women. Some of them had children with them. And yet there was a separation required. Now, let me give you a little bit of relief, because I know right now you're thinking, what happened to the women and children after they were set out? Let me give you a little bit of relief. Two things. The first is, notice what they said to Ezra, verse 3, and let all things be done according to the law. Well, the law there is a pretty broad term. There are all kinds of provisions in the law even for a situation like this. So the first thing that I want you to understand is that some of these women and their children might have subscribed to the covenant. And if they subscribed to the covenant and behaved themselves according to the procedure that is outlined, I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 21, then they could be indeed married into Israel properly, if they're going to do it according to the law. The other thing about the law that is very clear is that the Lord keeps himself under, if you will, an advertisement to us as loving the widow and the orphan. And so we are not to think that they are simply sent out to fare for themselves. The Lord is the keeper of all such. And if these men had sinned, we can be morally sure, although it doesn't say in the text, but this is my opinion, we can be morally sure that those men, as a part of their works meet for repentance, would be to keep up the maintenance of those women and children that would not come under the bond of the covenant. So they were not simply turned out into the wilderness to fare against the wild beasts. If we're going to do it according to the law, then that's how we're going to do it. So they come to Ezra and they say, we need you to take up this matter. Verse 4, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. And these are some of the nobles, some of the elders of Israel. So arose Ezra and the chief priests and the Levites and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. Notice, this is an oath to do everything according to the law of God. Well, this is indeed something of depriving someone of life, liberty, property, that kind of thing. This is an oath, a covenant that is made because of the weight and moment of it. It's a arduous work. It's a work of great deprivation. And yet it is a work that they undertake to do. And so it is indeed ensconced by an oath. So now we have the coming together of the civil authority and of the ecclesiastical authority. The letters go out to all of those, they're still called captives here. Notice they're no longer captives. They're the ones that have returned to the land from the Babylonian captivity. Yet they're still called captives. You have to understand what's being said here. And they have 3 days to gather themselves to Jerusalem. 3 days. All of you. 3 days. This is a circumstance of such weight and moment that you have 3 days to get here. Why only 3 days? Why do you think 3 days? I think 3 days because they understood the urgency of it, that if they will not be urgent in fixing this problem, in showing repentance before the Lord, that they stand in danger, as Ezra said in the last chapter, of coming back unto captivity. 3 days. And so everyone shows up. Notice that the civil and the ecclesiastical authority came together. If you don't show up, the sheriff's going to take away all your property and the church is going to excommunicate you. That's what's said there. Right? That's in verse 8. And whosoever would not come within 3 days according to the counsel of the princes and of the elders. Princes, elders, right? The princes, the civil leaders, the elders, the ecclesiastical leaders. All his substance should be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that have been carried away. Excommunicated. Okay. So all of the men gathered themselves then to Judah, and notice that there was rain, it was cold. This is the ninth month. This is long about November. And we heard in the last chapter that there was rain falling, right? It was very difficult for them to come together. And yet, in the midst of all of that, here they are trembling because of the matter. They tremble at the word of God. It said that earlier in the same chapter. We're reminded of Isaiah chapter 66. With whom will I commune, says the Lord, the one who trembles at my word, right? He that is of a humble and contrite spirit that trembles at my word. Well, we need to ask ourselves, do we have hearts of trembling before the very word of God, before his judgments, before his chastisements? Are we indeed those who tremble, or are we rather whistling past the graveyard, right? So then, Ezra calls out to them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Note the charge is specific. This is why sometimes we call it a specification. You don't charge people for some willy-nilly thing. You have a specification. You have a direct charge. You have done this. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure and separate yourself from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Notice, and then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. May I say, beloved, this is a great reformation among the people. It is a wonderful reformation among the people. I had the opportunity to be at a place just this last week where there were a number of various churches raised up, and there were some good things that happened. There were some reading of scripture and so on, and yet there was also some things that took place that were not good. What if someone stood up in the midst of that and said, we have just worshiped the Lord in a false way, contrary to his commands. And what if everyone stood up and said, as you have said, so we confess. The Lord forgive and the Lord give repentance to us. I think I'd have fainted. We don't expect that in our day. We don't expect this kind of reformation, do we? Yet, beloved, we know that the Lord has been pleased in times of his refreshment to send such reformation. And so we should pray for it. We should pray that the Lord would turn the hearts of his people. But there are many people, and it is a time of much rain, and we're not able to stand without. This is not a work of one day or two. For we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Verse 13. So modern Christianity says, let's just forget it. It'll be okay. Let's have every man do his own private confession. Every man will do his own private works meet for repentance, and everything will be done. It'll be okay. No. No, that is not fitting for this magnitude of the sin. And so what do they do? They appoint 6 or 7 men to sit in a court, and they sit and meet with every one of those names that we just read through. This is a court record. They meet with every single name that is named there. Some of them, sons of, you remember back from Haggai, Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. Some of his sons were caught up in this. Some of the nobles, some of the elders of Israel, they also were caught up in this. What do? They meet with them name by name by name for 3 months, and they adjudicate every particular case And that's where we hear, or that's where we assume would take place some of those things we talked about earlier. Okay, will your wife subscribe to the covenant? Will she spend 30 days having pared her hair and her nails? And will she repudiate and weep away from the house of her fathers and join herself to your family and be a maiden in Israel? Will she do that? Will your children, all your males, be circumcised? Will they do that? On a case-by-case basis, they gave their determination and everyone did what they were supposed to do. Will she not do that? Well then, send her back to the house of her father, and if she has no father, then you must keep her in a separate dwelling and provide for her. All of those things would have been adjudicated during that three-month time. Because everything's going to be done, as we read all the way back in verse 4, according to the law. And then the final note, we'll not go through all of the names, but the final note in verse 44 is that sometimes the cost of repentance is indeed deep. These were wives and children that were sent away, some of them. Sometimes, beloved, the mistakes that we have made, the sins that we have committed, cannot be remedied. Some of those women perhaps never intended to become a worshiper of Jehovah. And so with all of that help and with all of that affection and with all of that time with them under that experience, that had to be stripped away and sent away. So, beloved, let us remember that repentance sometimes requires us being rid of some things that were for long whiles very cherished. But if we're going to perfect holiness in the fear of God, if we're going to come out from among them and be separate, notice that they are required to separate not only from those wives and children that were foreign and refused the covenant, also from the people of the land, because it was through the people of the land that they took those wives in the first place. So not only is that to be taken care of, but also the genesis of it is to be taken care of. Stay away from the means of sin, temptations to sin, occasions of sin, appearances of sin. Stay away from those as well to be holy unto the Lord your God. Well, it's a great chapter and a fitting end to Ezra.